Ron, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Mike. David, how are you boys doing today?
How thin is the air? Do you sense it already? Do you feel like a little gasping?
Well,
a bit?
I didn't walk all the way up to Vail, so I did not feel it too much yesterday walking around downtown. You do feel it, though, when you're playing. Let's say you hit a ball in the gap, you hit a triple, you feel it. But, it, you know, for 3 days, it's not terrible. I think it's much more difficult for the guys that play here and then leave and come back, you know, every other week. I think it's a little more difficult for them.
Taking any Colorado practices? You and your guy Deion Sanders hang out together?
Yes, no.
I did play against Deion when he was in Cincinnati, but I would not say I went over and watched their workout by any means.
Well, I saw there was a pickup truck left at the stadium there. I didn't know if you had anything to do with that. Cool.
No, not me. No, I did not.
So the Cubs come in needing to sweep. Let's be honest about it. They have 16 games left. They're 5 back in the wild card standings. If they go 13-3, the Mets would still have to play below 500, which is unrealistic, but still not impossible. As the Cubs get ready to play the Rockies this weekend, Coom, how would you describe their state of mind?
I think very good. I you know, when you look at what they just did in L.A., they played good baseball. They played pretty clean baseball up until the last game. You know, and that series just goes to show you, the team that plays clean baseball won. Dodgers played a bad game and a middle game. Defensively, Cubs took advantage. Cubs made some base running mistakes in game 3. And the Dodgers ended up winning a game when the Cubs really had a great chance to win that game. So I think their frame of mind is good. But it's what you're saying. The reality of it is you have to, not really win out, but you really need the Mets to get on like a 3 or 4 game losing streak.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And you win and gain some ground quickly.
I guess, Ron, when I think about what's going on with the Cubs, you go back to playing the Yankees at home and scoring 2 runs in a series. And they won a game, so that was at least a good thing. Then they go to the Dodgers, and all of a sudden, what was it, 25 runs in 3 games? And then you look at the numbers, and apparently they're scoring more than a run better on the road. And then you're kind of like, what in the name of God has happened to Wrigley Field? What was it, the scoreboards, the advertising? What's changed the wind to the point where the Cubs are more than a run at on the road as opposed to at home?
Well, I'll say this about Wrigley. The scoreboards, especially the one in the left field, has helped the hitters. You know, when the wind is blowing in, it blocks the wind somewhat, so the ball carries even better to left field with the wind blowing in. But when the wind is blowing in, I say it carries better. Doesn't mean it carries well. There's a big difference. You know, the wind blowing in, Wrigley is 2 types of ballparks and always has been. When the wind is blowing out, as we know, it's a great hitter's park, blah, 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 ball flies everywhere, and it's good. When the wind blows in, you got to keep the ball out of the air unless you're a great, big, strong guy. When you look at that series against the Yankees didn't score many runs either.
Right.
You know, they struggled. You know, I don't think was there a home run hit in the series? I don't think there was a home run hit in this. Maybe game 3. But anyway, they were just, you know, Judge didn't hit the ball out. He hit 2 balls to the track that I know in watching his trot out of the box, he thought they were home runs and they weren't. So, you know, that's just Wrigley Field. You got to keep the ball out of the air. You got to learn to play more of a smaller, small ball type game. You've got to be able to move runners along and situational hit. That's just the way it is at Wrigley.
What got into the Cubs Wednesday night in L.A., running the bases? PCA's caught. He makes things happen, so I understand maybe. And he's also a rookie, the aggressive base running by him. You can't have that blunder. But I was hard on him yesterday, and it doesn't seem any easier to accept today. Seiya Suzuki can't make that second out at third base under those circumstances. And Craig Counsell called it inexcusable, and I couldn't have agreed more.
I agree. The one thing Pete has to remember is not everybody's as fast as he is. And when there's a base hit to the outfield, that doesn't necessarily mean that the runner on second is going to score, right? That's just not always going to be the case and he basically was running with his head down. And he came flying around first base and was not looking at the runner ahead of him. So, you know, that's definitely a mistake. He got excited, and, you know, it's kind of a rookie mistake. And then it compounded with Michael Busch leaving third base and getting into a rundown and making out, you know, between home and third, where if Michael just stays at third base, the Cubs have second and third and two outs instead of first and second and two outs. You know, if Pete takes off from third, it's different. Michael Busch is probably going to be out in a rundown. So the Cubs just made some base running mistakes, and I don't know what Suzuki was thinking in that situation. You know, I'm sure he was thinking, if I steal a bag, we got tying run now as a second base. But you don't think of the ramifications if you get a bad jump and you're thrown out, and that's what happened. And yeah, that was a killer because Kopech was really, really on the ropes. So
yeah.
those are just base running, terrible base running mistakes that cost you a game.
Yeah, it was like Kopech saw Chicago, and he reverted to how he pitched on the south side as opposed to how he's pitched with the Dodgers. I mean, he was terrible. Didn't he walk three guy? I mean,
yeah,
to not take advantage of that, good God.
Yeah, if we don't get thrown out at third, I think we win that game. I really do. Or they take him out right after that hitter. Because I just don't think he was capable of getting it back and throwing enough strikes to where it would have worked out for them.
That's just really more frustrating to hear you put it in those terms. Because I also got to ask you this, Coom, while we're second-guessing and lamenting the last loss. Jordan Wicks, at what point in that first inning do you realize a sense of urgency in that game and not allow him to stay on the mound to give up four home runs? Is it after the second homer or the third? Because by the fourth, it's too late.
Yeah, I'm not in that dugout, and it's, you know, that's those are decisions. I'm sure they didn't want to burn out their entire bullpen, and that's what they're thinking going into Colorado, where you've got, you know, you're going to have to throw eight innings of baseball or eight and a third innings of baseball in L.A. out of the pen, and then come to Colorado where, you know, it can kill your bullpen. So I'm sure those thoughts are going through counsel's mind. But who would have guessed they, you know, they keep hitting home runs. That was unbelievable, actually.
It was really something.
You know, and in Dodger Stadium, too, which is not the easiest home run hitting ballpark. Yeah, that was a tough one.
The Ohtani homer, that thing was out before he was done swinging. I mean, that was like his fast a home run, just like whoop, you know, that's it. That was his 47th homer. He got his 48th stolen base. I mean, what do you think of this 50-50 thing that he is on track for?
I think it's absolutely amazing. I really do. When you look at a guy that can do things like that in our game, it's just, it's nobody else has done it. I mean, what else do you say? There's only certain things that you look at and go, nobody did that, right? You talk about Babe Ruth, you talk about players in that caliber. There's only a few that you even, you know, Barry Bonds when he was on a roll, but we all know he was enhanced and doing that stuff. But all these things that went on, you're just like, holy cow, 50-50. And here's the other kicker about that guy. He's throwing in the bullpen, and his arm is like ready to go. So he's going to pitch. He was throwing bullpens while we were in L.A. Mm. So you're going to get a guy that's a 50-50 guy that's going to be a dominant pitcher too. Pretty amazing.
It is
like
amazing.
Really amazing.
Yeah, MVP really of the amazing. National League.
I've already predicted they're going to play the Yankees in the seventh game of the. He's going to come in and replace Kopech and strike out Judge to win the title.
Well, it's one of those things. He did that in the World Baseball Classic.
Yes.
He was on the mound and finished out the game to win the World Baseball Classic. And you wonder, I was asking Rick Monday this, you know, the other day. We were sitting in our booth. And I said, is there like an outside chance that he pitches? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders like, you know, you just never know. I mean, if he's throwing, and I mean, he threw a full-length bullpen with all his pitches. You know, what if he comes to the management and says, I think I can help us in the bullpen?
Then he helps you in the bullpen.
Whatever he wants to do.
Thank you very much. What you do is you do what Show did the other day. You tip your cap and you say thank you.
That's exactly right.
So, Coombe, speaking of pitchers trying to come back, Justin Steele threw on the trip, and it looks like he could be on the way back. What's the risk-reward calculus in terms of what bringing him back would mean, and do you pay attention to the standings when making that decision?
I would say yes, you do pay attention to the standings. If the Cubs keep gaining ground, then he pitches again. I would think if he doesn't, if the Cubs don't gain ground in the wild card, then to me, why would you do that? You know, I don't think that would, you know, he's Jace, your staff. He's a guy that's been, you know, you really need him for the future. You know, if you're not pitching for anything and there's only 2 weeks left of the season or just over 2 weeks, you know, if he's going to pitch one more game or two possibly, is it worth it? So I think these next few games here will determine a lot of that. If the Cubs, you know, lose ground in the wild card, I don't see him coming back. But, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe he just feels really good and he wants to pitch. And, you know, I don't know that from Justin yet. So we'll just see what happens.
It's just one of these things now where you look at it and you say the room for failure, the room for any kind of – it's gone. The margin for error has disappeared, and now it's just you got to get the best out of everyone every night. In Colorado, you just worry that – and I don't know that this could happen, but one bad pitching performance, one guy who kind of – meets a moment you didn't expect him to, can waylay whatever your plans were.
Absolutely. This is a difficult place to play. Mm. It just is. It always has been for the Cubs. It is for everybody that comes here. You always, you know, the game just plays different. The ballpark is different. It's a huge playing surface. So the outfielders, for the Cubs, it's kind of plays in their favor because you've got maybe the fastest center fielder in the league. And with Pete out there, you know, because it's just such a good place to hit. You know, it's not just the home runs, but it's how big the outfield is and the ball's falling in because the outfielders have to play so deep to protect the gaps. So it's just a great place to hit. And you're right, one bad two-inning stretch by a pitcher can flip the game around and you can't catch up. So it's a difficult place to play. It always has been. With that being said, every time I was a free agent, I told my agent, call Colorado. I want to hit there.
Yeah, that's funny. So, Coombe, we're going to see a lot of the Dodgers in October, as we talked about. And I'm just curious your impressions coming out of L.A. of Yamamoto, who we haven't seen a lot of this season, but also just how positioned they are, how well positioned they might be to make a run in October.
I would say the Dodgers, Hernandez hitting behind Freeman, their right fielder, with him in the lineup, that really extends their lineup. They have four guys that can really do damage. And then you got Muncy, who doesn't hit for an average, but as we know through the years, he's a dangerous guy and he's always been a big RBI guy and now he's healthy. So the Dodgers' issues are, to me, all on the mound. You know, you got, you know, Glasnow and Yamamoto, and both of those guys are, you know, 1 and 1A when you talk about starting pitching. They've got to be healthy. You know, Yamamoto threw four innings and he was dominant and he looked really good. Glasnow, you got to figure, is he going to be able to pitch? That's, you know, what's going to be his story. The Dodgers are going to win or lose in the playoffs because of their starting pitching. If they get their starting pitching back, they can be a force. If they don't, they could be in trouble.
Ron, I can't believe we've gotten this far without talking about Pete Crow Armstrong and the way in which his elite defense has been met by elite offense, really dating back to August when he really kind of started making this move. And he's just been playing so well on both sides of the ball, right? Playing great defense and now hitting as well as anybody on the team.
Well, I really believe his approach at the plate has gotten a lot better. The mechanics of his swing have gotten a lot better. You know, he's quieted down his approach. He's using the other side of the field. To me, once he got control of his barrel of the bat, and we, you know, these are things we talk about in a cage, you know, and it's not usually, you know, general conversation, but for a big league hitter, you have to have control of the barrel and know what it's doing. And early in the season, he did not have control of his barrel and could not just hit the ball the other way. And like even in batting practice, like, you know, just hit line drive after line drive the other way. Now you watch him and he's got control. You know, I thought one of the great at-bats that he had the other day was he got behind in the count with a man on third and one out. And he took a couple sliders down and in and didn't chase. And then got a pitch up and away and hit it to left center field and flew out deep to the track to drive in a run. And I just thought, now that is a really good big league at bat. Now, we all know if a guy hits a home run, okay, that's a great big league at bat, good. You know, you get a hit. But when you're battling in an at bat and you're not chasing pitches that are just out of the zone, and then you use the other side of the field in a situational hitting situation, position you're in, that's good baseball, and it's not easy to do, and he's doing it. And that's, you know, and then you look at the way he affected the game. Rick Mundy came into our booth after game two and said, who is he? And not in his words, but who is that guy in center field? Because he is amazing. And you're talking about a guy who played center field at a really high level for a long time in the big leagues and Rick Mundy. Pete is opening eyes around the league. It's pretty amazing.
Did it remind Rick Mundy of Rick Mundy?
He did. I don't think so. He goes, that's the fastest kid out there I've seen. He just outruns the ball. Mo was a good center fielder, but he also hit 32 home runs for the Cubs uniform from the leadoff spot. So he had that going for him, too, I think.
A little more pop in his back. Great
he was just really good.
You're the best, Ron. Enjoy Colorado. Don't get the air too thin.
Yeah, we'll be okay, I think, here in Colorado. Enjoy the weekend. I know it's Big Bears weekend again, so hopefully they'll do some good this weekend, too. So have a good weekend, boys.
Thanks,
Coom. Thank you, Coom.